reading the Holy War, Bunyan's Holy War, and we've come to that place which in our particular book, there are different editions of this, different publishers, etc., etc. There have been many, many over the years. But the one that we are trying principally to use in this congregation is a tremendous treatment. In this one, we are in a new chapter today. It starts chapter 16. Now, if you have a different edition, the reading that I'm going to take up today may not be at a chapter division. We're used to books having all, no matter who published them, chapters are all the same, etc. But that was not the case with the Holy War. It's gone through several editions, and because of that, some things have been moved. But anyway, in our particular edition that we're using, we are at a chapter break, and this is chapter 16. And the reading for today. Now, you'll remember where we are in the story. Man's soul has gone out to do war with Diabolus, and there is this battle that has been raging, and they have been promised by Captain Credence, who represents what? Faith. Faith has assured man's soul that the prince will come to their aid, to their rescue. I was blessed last week, I believe it was, Brother Jacob prayed something about he said something to the Lord about looking forward to the prince coming. And what a blessing that was. And so the prince has promised to come. And now, in our reading today, finally, that hour has arisen. It starts out saying, no sooner had the captain made this speech, and you'll remember that speech, it's the last paragraph of the former chapter. He said, gentlemen, soldiers, and my brethren in this design, it rejoiceth me much to see in the field for our prince this day so stout, so valiant an army, and such faithful lovers of man's soul. You have hitherto, as hath become you, shown yourselves men of truth and courage against the Diabolian forces, so that for all their boast, they have not yet much cause to boast of their gettings. Now take to yourselves your wonted courage, show yourselves men, even this once only, and in a few minutes, after the late next engagement of this time, you shall see your prince show himself in the field. For we must make this second assault upon this tyrant Diabolus, and then Emmanuel comes. So the captain is encouraging man's soul, keep up the fight. Keep up the fight. The children used to sing a little song, Hold the Fort. Remember that song, Hold the Fort? For I am coming. And they're going to hold out in the battle. So then Bunyan tells us in the following chapter, no sooner had the captain made this speech to his soldiers, but one Mr. Speedy came post to the captain for the prince to tell him that Emmanuel was at hand. One Mr. Speedy came post. That's a wonderful old English word. If you look it up in Webster, it can be either a noun or a verb. If it's a verb, it means to be with haste. But in this case, it was a noun. He came post. That is, the word means a messenger. A messenger came. Mr. Speedy came. Excuse me. With a message from the prince to tell him that Emmanuel was at hand. Now, this message came right after the speech of Captain Credence. You see the significance there. Faith speaks. Faith has charge, if you please, of the heart. And when faith is strong, messengers come. The message comes. Emmanuel is at hand. The note below in our version says, man's soul is fighting the good fight of faith. The soul has so far gained advantage that the army of doubt has withdrawn itself from the closer contact of an indwelling army of occupation to the outer plane, the external circumstances and experiences of the soul. An open hand-to-hand encounter is more to be desired than the vexatious conflict with lurking foes in dens and caves and remote hiding places of the soul's secret thoughts. Better the pitched battle in the plain than the secret surprise, the guerrilla skirmishing at the hands of every evil thought that suddenly springs up in the heart to the great detriment of the soul. It's better, is it not, when we declare open war with our enemy than to fight those inner battles that surprise us sometimes. Are you ever surprised by evil thoughts? I mean just surprised. I mean surprised at yourself. You expect it from, but I mean sometimes you're just going along and you're just going along and suddenly the most vile thoughts, you're surprised. Well, that's not the case here. Man's soul is out in the open field in hand-to-hand open combat. Bunyan says, this news, when the captain had received, he communicated to the other field officers, and they again to their soldiers and men of war. Wherefore, like men raised from the dead, so the captains and their men arose, made up to the enemy, and cried as before, the sword of the Prince of Emmanuel and the shield of Captain Credence, the word of God and faith. The word of God and faith. This message from Mr. Speedy that came to Captain Credence has re-energized the armies to fight against Diabolus. The Diabolians, Bunyan goes on and says, the Diabolians also bestirred themselves and made resistance as well as they could. But in this last engagement, the Diabolians lost their courage. And many of the doubters fell dead to the ground. Notice McGuire's notes below. He says, the nearer the promise, the stronger is the soul, waxing more valiant in fight. And in the same proportion is the power of sin abated and the force of Satan weakened. Under the increasing evidence of faith, doubt retires or is beaten back or is confounded or is utterly slain. When faith is strong and Christ is near, their doubt cannot be in any force or strength against the soul. So now, doubt vanishes as Emmanuel draws near. Our desire is for him to draw near, isn't it? Well, don't forget where they have been. They have been now for a long time beleaguered, assaulted, deserted because of their sin. And they have been a long time now sending messages to Emmanuel, back and forth. Bunyan says, now when they had been in heat of battle for about an hour or more, Captain Credence lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, Emmanuel came. Hallelujah. Emmanuel came. And who saw him? Oh, Captain Credence. Faith. Faith lays hold of him. And he came with colors flying, trumpets sounding, and the feet of his men scarce touched the ground. They hasted with that celerity toward the captains that were engaged. And then did Credence wind with his men to the townward, and gave to Diabolus the field. So Emmanuel came upon him on the one side, and the enemy's place was betwixt them both. And then again they fell to it afresh, and now it was but a little while more, but Emmanuel and Captain Credence met, still trampling down the slain as they came. Captain Credence and Emmanuel have met. And I wrote in my book, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God when faith can lay hold on Christ. Not on some doctrine, not on some theory, not on some theology. No, 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 no. Not some academic plan. When faith can lay hold on Christ. He says here, they battled, and the enemy was caught between them, and Emmanuel's forces moved in, and Captain Credence moved in, and then Bunyan says, they met, trampling down the slain as they came. Nothing now but victory when faith meets Christ. Bunyan didn't write that. That's just my comment. There's nothing left now but victory when faith meets Christ. Nothing but victory. They're trampling down the slain as they came. But when the captain saw, Bunyan said, goes on to say, well, let's read the note, the third note on the previous page. Our commentator says, the long prayed for issue has arrived. Long and tedious has been the probation of the soul. You see that phrase? That'd be a good phrase for you to write down somewhere. Probation of the soul. Why were they on probation? Because they had grieved Emmanuel and driven him out. And let me just tell you, if you hadn't learned it already by your experience, you sin against God as a believer. You transgress Emmanuel's law as a citizen of his household. And you will experience probation. A serious time when your every move is calculated to misery. Probation of the soul. Commentator said, long and tedious has been the probation of the soul, counting from the day of the departure of the prince until the day of his return. And what an interval that is between. The spirit of carnal security has wrought fierce havoc in the soul, involving the withdrawal of Emmanuel, the quenching of the spirit, the renewed assault of Diabolus, and the countless evils associated with the terrible army of the doubters. The soul has renewed its watchfulness, redoubled its prayers, retained possession of the castle, that's the heart, and so far has repulsed the assault of the assailants. But all is incomplete until Christ returns. No full tide of victory until then, nor full deliverance from the power and wrath of hell. Emmanuel comes now. His own arm brought salvation. Probation of the soul. Anybody have any comments on anybody like to talk about that? That's a doctrine that is absolutely absent from the teaching of nearly all of our churches today. Nobody will talk about when you grieve and offend the Spirit of God in your heart. I mean, they make it easy, right? We've got Roman Catholic Protestantism. All you got to do is come and say something. Come and confess. Just here, come and confess to the priest, the local parish priest / Baptist minister. You just come and make your confession, and that's it, boy. He's back. He's come back. Yep, everything's lovely. It's great. There's not going to be any problems. That just fixes it all. All I got to do is go down and say something. It's all fixed. Well, I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. When the believer willfully grieves God and violates his law, the prince will extract his due obeisance. And there will be a period of probation in which the believer will struggle to see him again, struggle to hear him again, struggle to be in his presence again. Probation of the soul. Anybody got any comments on that? Has anybody here experienced that? Has anybody here not experienced that? When you shut him out, it's not as easy as, what is that wretched song they sing? Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. No, I beg your pardon. Just a little talk with Jesus won't make it right. These folks of man's soul have been sending petitions now for a long time. They heard nothing.
I didn't want to make a comment for the sake of recording.
Right, we're not talking about a loss of salvation. We're talking about a loss of fellowship, a loss of communion, a loss of his presence. Right, that's absolutely right. We've just made repentance in America, by and large, whether we're talking salvation or, quote, backsliders, quote, we've made repentance too easy. We've made repentance a doctrine that's not the one reflected in the Bible. Biblical repentance is painful. It's a painful business. And it's not done quickly. It's not done easily. It's wrought out by the Holy Spirit in the heart. And how long he takes to work that is entirely in his own sovereign hands. We don't control that. Now, he may be merciful, depending on the nature of the offense. He may be merciful and restore you instantly. I'm not saying that cannot happen. I am not saying that. We're reading the Holy War. I'm telling you what Bunyan's relating in this account. And I am telling you that there is such a thing as our commentator has used this expression, the probation of the soul. There is such a thing. And it's a dreadful thing. It's a terrible thing. Have you ever sinned, knew immediately that you had sinned, realized, knew immediately, and almost immediately, you went to the Lord and asked him to forgive you? Something in your heart at that moment tells you that it really is not that easy. Isn't it? Does he forgive you? I'm I have to believe the word that he does. He said if you confess your sins, he's faithful, just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But somehow we feel that we are in that probation. Probation on this matter. Well, it's a difficult doctrine. It is. It's a difficult doctrine. And I'm not claiming to flesh it all out here. I'm just making you aware that there is a probation to the soul that sins against the prince and breaks his law. And it is not as simple as some magic formula where we go down to the priest and he sprinkles us with holy water and all of a sudden it's all clean. It's really not that simple. There's probation to the soul. However, as we've read already this afternoon, the prince will not leave the soul alone. He will return. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how long that probation may be. He says here an hour. Bunyan says for about an hour. The battle lasted about an hour or more. That's this battle. But how many days had they been already deserted? I can't tell you how long it'll last. I'm just telling you there's probation. Anybody else want to make any comment or delve into that at all? I think most of us are afraid to talk about it, aren't we? Just rather not talk about it, really. Yes.
He went through that period of insensibility. Until the prophet put his finger
in his nose. Yeah, there you go. And said, "Thou art the man." Yes, sir.
He fell at that moment, calling upon God for forgiveness. And the prophet told him, "Do not sin for forgiveness."
Yep.
Oh Lord,
what a price he paid for a long time after.
The probation lasted the rest of his life.
Yep, that's right, brother. Well, that's a frightening thought, isn't it? Probation lasted the rest of his life. Moving on, Bunyan says, well, let me read also. There was a note. Birder said, he said, the presence of the Lord, based on this reading that we just did, the presence of the Lord decides the contest. Doubts and fears cannot stand before the gracious manifestation of himself to the soul. And then he quotes this point. But if Emmanuel's face appear, my hope, my joy begins. His name forbids my slavish fear. His grace removes my stains. His presence makes all the difference, doesn't it? Doesn't it? His presence makes all the difference. Bunyan said, but when the captain saw that the prince was come, that he fell upon the Diabolians on the other side, and the captain Credence and his highness had got them up betwixt them, they so shouted that the ground rent away. They shouted, saying, the sword of Emmanuel and the shield of Captain Credence. Now when Diabolus saw that he and his forces were so hard beset by the prince, and his princely army, what does he? What do you think he did? What did he and the lords of the pit that were with him but make their escape and forsake their army and leave them to fall by the hand of Emmanuel and of his noble captain, Credence? Diabolus ran off and left his men. This is how much care he has for you. Here comes Emmanuel. The battle is being lost. And so Diabolus and the lords of the pit ran and escaped. Bunyan says there was not left so much as one doubter alive. Well, that's a good day. They lay spread upon the ground, dead men, as one would spread dung upon the land. Hallelujah. Doubts, fears, all reservations gone. Gone. Captain Credence rules the day because Emmanuel has come. Our commentator said, between Christ and faith, sin is destroyed. Here is the exercise of human duty and the intervention of divine help. You see how the two run parallel. There's no conflict between sovereignty and responsibility. None whatsoever. Here is the exercise of human duty. Faith is working. And then Emmanuel comes and the intervention of divine help. This bold coloring of the picture shows what man must do. He must fight, persevere, and be patient in the strife. It also shows what Christ will do. He will come and crown the fight with victory. His departure was the going forth of the strength of man's soul from its midst. His return is the renewal of the soul's strength, health, and well-being. Christ, on one side, slays our doubts, while faith, on the other, quenches them. And being thus so oppressed, Diabolus, their master, flees from the battlefield, forsakes his terrible army in the crisis of the rout, and takes refuge in the dwelling place of the abyss of darkness. My goodness. Mason said, thus it will ever be, thus it will ever be. The Christian life is a warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil. But an evil heart of unbelief is that spiritual Goliath. Well, I like that. Doubt. I mean, there's a lot of wars for the Christian. But doubt, that's a spiritual Goliath. That's a giant. Which we should constantly entreat the captain of our salvation to subdue. Well, I'll finish with one more sentence today. I couldn't stop there. I wanted to read the first sentence of the next paragraph. When the battle was over, all things came into order in the camp. Hallelujah. Boy, when the battle's over, there'll be order. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that a great blessing? Emmanuel has come back. The Prince is with us. And when he shows, there will be order in the camp. Amen. Any comments or questions on the reading today? We'll stop there.